It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm flipping pens and already just, I'm a little flustered. Anyway, welcome to the show. You're listening to Sweet Home Cannabama right here on FM Talk 106.5 out of Mobile, Alabama. We are also live streaming on Facebook, Instagram, X, LinkedIn, and YouTube. So if you are listening from the radio, we would love it if you would watch as well. And if you're watching, share, subscribe, all the things, like, comment, let us know you're there so we can continue this conversation. I want to say happy 250th anniversary, birthday, whatever it is, to the United States of America, because it is going to be the 4th of July before our next show, and this is one of those big ones. The town of Summerdale, where I now live, had a fantastic Independence Day event on Saturday, fireworks show, vendors, the whole thing, and it was so much fun to get out there and have a nice small town American holiday. So be careful. I read some post today that said this is the last weekend some people will have 10 fingers because of fireworks. So if you should burn yourself, hurt yourself, get a sunburn, a bug bite, make sure you got your CBD cream handy. It works wonders, especially the kind with cooling menthol or something in it that helps you keep cool out in the sun. But yes, definitely. Be careful out there. Tomorrow is 1 year since Cannabama closed, and I don't want to dwell on that. You all know how I feel about it. It's hard to believe it's already been a year. I'm still in that weird transitional grieving process because, you know, a lot of things for me are still up in the air. I'd ask for your prayers for the show and for all the different projects that I've got my fingers in. That's something, you know, that God will direct me in the right direction and give me my purpose somewhere else other than Cannabama in the store in downtown. I do miss it. If you were a customer, if you've been a longtime listener, I miss everybody's faces. I miss getting to be there and hug my customers and take care of them. But it's also, a couple days ago, was my first anniversary with my lovely husband, Shane. A lot of you might have seen him propose on the show last May, and we got married just 3 days before the store closed on June 27th. So I know he's listening, and I just want to say I love you, and this year would not have been survivable for me without your love and support and your belief in me and your support of the show. So thank you, honey. I appreciate you more than I can say. Let's get into some current events. One thing is weird. You know, I mentioned before that Mitch McConnell had been hospitalized. It has now been 2 weeks, and his staff is still apparently saying nothing since June 22nd when he went into the hospital. So kind of weird. I don't know how that works. He's not able to go and vote on anything. Nobody's seen him or heard from him. Quite the mystery, but yeah, I just, you know, 2 weeks with no word is very strange, and in this day and age and in this country, who knows? Let's get into some current events. The DEA rescheduling hearings began today. Formal DEA hearings on moving marijuana to Schedule 3 began today, June 29th, running through July 15th in Arlington, Virginia. These proceedings followed Trump's executive order directing agencies to expedite rescheduling, and today's open session features the government presenting its case. Now, this is the DEA arguing in favor of rescheduling at the president's behest. The schedule includes testimony from prohibitionist groups, medical experts, and state agencies, but notably only opponents of rescheduling were invited to participate, a decision made by the DEA administrator. So there's no patients, no farmers, no cannabis companies, no advocacy groups, none of that are allowed to speak. So we are left with the DEA, which is insanely ironic. The DEA is arguing on our behalf here for Schedule 3, if you even think Schedule 3 is a good idea. Most of us want to deschedule altogether, but it is what it is. But only opponents were allowed. This hearing is the final step before the DEA decides whether to formally reclassify marijuana altogether or just keep it at medical being Schedule 3. So another news, Trump demands Congress preserve hemp and pass bars amendment. You know, Trump has been advocating for the preservation of the hemp industry, particularly for the availability of full-spectrum CBD products for seniors under Medicare, and also to protect the farmers. And Congress is not moving. I told you a few weeks ago about four different amendments that were presented. One was by Andy Barr, who wants to raise the THC limit to 1% from 0.3%. And have rules about packaging, testing, and marketing to children, public safety, that kind of thing. And they've also been giving out amendments to extend this deadline from November 12th. All four of those amendments were, they declined to even hear them. And so now Trump is specifically saying, you know, revise the rules, excuse me, and delay the November hemp product ban. So, you know, 1% would be great. We've talked about how the 0.3% THC is an arbitrary number, and it ends up resulting in the burning of a lot of crops unnecessarily. So this would definitely be a great thing for the hemp industry, but we are somewhere around 140 days away from this deadline for the ban to go into effect. So I don't even know. We're fighting tooth and nail, all these different organizations. You know, there's weekly Zooms from multiple organizations that are working towards this tirelessly day in and day out. And a lot of businesses are going ahead and deciding not to plant or to get rid of their stock. A lot of states are enacting wackadoo rules. You know, and so that leads me to my next story. In South Carolina, you know, we spoke with State Representative Greg Ford a while back. He had just been elected, and he is a former hemp farmer, processor, and retailer, whose son is only alive because of the hemp products that they found that helped with his catastrophic seizures. And so got good news, spoke to Representative Ford myself the other day. South Carolina has killed their hemp ban bill. And man, I didn't even know they were still in session. Our session ended in April, and here it is the end of June, and they've just now killed this ban bill. He and Representative Gil Gatch. So they failed to pass it. It actually passed the Senate, but the House rejected it 69 to 28. And that's not a small margin. So we're very happy for the people of South Carolina. They are just going to stick with their 21 and older rule that had been passed into law before. And nothing else will change from the 2018 Farm Bill standards. And then the bipartisan cannabis banking bill has been refiled. I don't know how many times this bill has been filed. But a bipartisan coalition in Congress has reintroduced the Safe Banking Act of 2026, aiming to let banks serve state legal cannabis businesses without federal penalties. Remember, banks are federally insured and cannabis is federally illegal. And that is why banking, credit cards, lines of credit, loans have always been impossible to get, even for us in the legal hemp industry, because, you know, we're all in the same boat, basically. It's very hard to find anybody that will work with you on that level. So hopefully that will be passed. It's passed the House multiple times in previous sessions, but never cleared the Senate. So this new bipartisan push comes just days before the rescheduling hearings, and hopefully we'll add momentum to that effort. So a lot is going on, a lot of moving parts. Time is running out, and especially for the hemp industry. And just like our guest last week said, maybe the fiber industry won't suffer. But if they ban seeds because of potential THC, then everybody's affected. So we hope that this comes to a reasonable conclusion sooner than later. And also this weirdness with cannabis being Schedule 1 unless it's medical, and then the same exact thing is now Schedule 3. And what does that actually mean for the businesses, for the government, and for the patients? At the end of the day, what does all of this mean? It is not in any way a new form of legalization, And it, you know, even a Schedule 3 drug is still illegal to purchase without permission, prescription, medical card, whatever, you know, they come out with as the standard operating procedure for obtaining medical cannabis in any state, because now this is a federal rule. When we come back from the break, we're going to meet Dr. Lakeisha again and have a great conversation about what exactly cannabis does. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we're going to be talking again with Dr. Lakeisha. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lakeisha. She is a medical cannabis physician among many other types of medicine out of New York. She's all over the place. She's in Africa. She's in Jamaica. And we had a fantastic show several weeks ago about grief. And that is probably, Dr. Lakeisha, probably one of my top three shows ever, because it meant so much to me. And I know what it took for you. I know what it took for me to both be vulnerable and share our experiences in order to try to help others in that deep, deep, dark grief. And I just want to say thank you for that. But she's back tonight. We're going to be talking in our summer series, Back to Basics. Last week, we talked about what it is. Tonight, we're going to talk about what it does. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I really appreciated our conversation last time. And I'm really looking forward to, after that heart-to-heart, having a lighter conversation this time and talking about what cannabis can help do with your body.
Right. I'm excited. I just, you know, like we talked about on the show, sometimes when you meet someone who knows where you've been in life and you don't even have to compare stories, you just know that it creates a connection that cannot be replicated outside of that situation. And sometimes it's nice to know that you're not in your boat alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And positively. And one thing that I didn't get to share on the last show is actually, I'm from Mississippi. I was born there.
Nice.
So I just want to say, hey,
y'all.
My family that might be listening. You know what I mean?
Well, we are airing in Mississippi right now. Yes.
Yeah,
people in Mississippi can hear.
So much. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I feel sorry for people who've never spent at least a little bit of time deep in the South.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
All right. Well, let's get into it, because so many people, you know, we've talked about this here and there all along. It's been almost 7 years. I was having this conversation almost daily in the shop, but there's still so many people that need to be reminded or go in more in-depth detail. What actually, we know what the plant is made of. Now, what does it do in the body? So for listeners new to cannabis science, how do you explain the difference between the three major categories of chemicals in the plant? We know there's about 480 plus chemicals, but what about the difference between cannabinoids, terpenes, and flavonoids?
Well, what I try to do is start and make it simple so people can really understand what is actually happening, you know, physiologically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our endogenous cannabinoid system, the system in our body that's meant to work with all those chemicals that you said, the
right.
active constituents, as we call them, of the cannabis plant,
mm-hmm.
what that system is designed to do is help your body manage stress.
Yes.
That's the big one. And I think people don't get that and understand that enough. When our body is stressed and we're constantly in fight or flight situations, mm-hmm. that leads to an overproduction of cortisol, the stress hormone.
Right.
That stress hormone, when we're constantly pouring it out, leads to inflammation, chronic inflammation.
Right.
And chronic inflammation is arguably the precursor to most things that most of the ailments or dis-ease, you know, within the human body. So I like
right.
to start there and have people really understand that working with your endogenous cannabinoid system, supplemented by taking those chemicals that are found within the plant in their full, you said full spectrum earlier. I heard you in your advertisement.
Yes.
In the full spectrum. That means having each one of those constituents. So there's cannabinoids, there's the terpenes, there's the flavonoids, so the flavor, and then there's the lipids, because at the end of the day, those cannabinoids are fat soluble. So
yes,
you need the lipids, the fat, in order to make it more bioavailable for your body. So I know it's a lot of information, but I like to draw it back and say, what this plant does is supplement the system in our body that's designed to help us manage stress.
Right.
Wherever that stuff is coming from.
Right. And you could also say, not to go a little deeper on the word stress, not just emotional stress that causes cortisol dumps, but the stress on your pancreas when it is overwhelmed and gunked up with inflammation and all of
Absolutely.
The poisons that we eat, drink, and are interacting with in our daily lives. You know, the stress on your liver, the stress on
Absolutely.
Your kidneys, the stress on your hormone systems, and, you know, back to the inflammation, your immune system, all of those things, you know, and stress in the brain doesn't always just look like anxiety. Sometimes it looks like insomnia. Sometimes it looks like tremors or seizures or memory fog. There are so many ways that stress, whether emotional or physical, you know, Dr. Dana likes to call it rusting from the inside out. It causes oxidation. And
yeah.
your body makes its own cannabinoids, which is why we use the word endogenous, meaning in the body.
Right.
But just
right.
like everything else that we naturally make, we have to put it back. When we use it, food is fuel, and cannabis is a superfood. You know, lots of people want to classify it as a drug, but really at the end of the day, it is a very, very bioavailable food that we need to replenish those systems so that our bodies reach homeostasis. And homeostasis
Absolutely.
Just means balance. You know, when your tires aren't balanced on your car, it wobbles, it makes noise, it wears the tires down wrong, and you have a blowout. It's the same thing in the body. When you don't
Absolutely.
Have balance, the vehicle, whether it's your immune system, your brain, your organs, they cannot operate properly and they will start to break down. And
Absolutely.
So we want to avoid that and reduce toxins and heavy metals within the body that also cause that. So that was a very good place to start with the endogenous cannabinoid system for sure. Why is whole plant medicine important instead of focusing only on the two majors, which is THC and CBD?
Well, because there's a synergistic effect that happens when you have all of the active constituents working together. And I like to think of it nutritionally, right?
Right.
So just as we said, you know, we have to supplement nutritionally with food. If we don't have enough vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin K, whatever it is, if we don't have enough magnesium, iron, calcium, we get it through what we eat, you know,
right.
through what we consume, we supplement. So just because our body produces endogenous cannabinoids naturally for that system, as we age, as we go through stress, and especially for women, as we cycle even, we don't produce enough endogenous cannabinoids to properly support our system.
Right now,
due to the lack of research, there's not a test that says, oh, this is how many endogenous cannabinoids are required
right.
to induce that homeostasis or that balance.
Yes.
There's no test that says this is how many, you know, endogenous cannabinoids are in your body right now.
Or the ones you're deficient in, or the ones that...
Right.
Yeah. No, right. there's not. I tell people that all the time.
Whole plant medicine is important. This is exactly why whole plant medicine is important.
Right.
Because just like nutritionally, you eat something, your body's able to decide which vitamins, minerals, amino acids, proteins, whatever it is, and what you're consuming is necessary for your body at that time.
Right.
If you present your body with the full spectrum or full profile of everything that's found within the cannabis sativa flowering variety, and that covers both cannabis and hemp,
right.
same plant, same genus, same family.
Right.
If you're given it the full profile, then in that same school of thought, nutritionally, your body's able to utilize what it needs
yes.
and then discard the rest without consequence, especially if you're ingesting it. And
right.
that's usually my favorable, you know, method of administration is saying, make sure you get it in there and it's hidden all of those receptor sites and your body's able to choose what it needs and then is able to discard the rest without consequence.
Right.
I don't really like, I liken the cannabis sativa flowering variety to a vegetable because it bears seeds. So
right.
a fruit because it bears seeds. So it's like a fruit.
Yes.
You're feeding your body this fruit that works with this particular system. And if you give it that full profile, that synergistic effect has the better, you know, efficacy.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And the full spectrum, this is exactly why 9.99 times out of 10, a full spectrum product is going to be better for whatever ails you than an isolate product like just CBD by itself is amazing. But it's not in comparison to a full spectrum that has everything, including a trace amount of THC and all of those elements. That is where the goodness is, because you're right. Your body decides what it needs and what it discards. And it that way, it's an intelligent design, because the body knows what it needs, it takes what it needs, and it discards the rest, and that's waste. And that's an amazing thing. And I think probably when you're in a high state of oxidation, highly inflamed, you know, your body is sick, it has a harder time doing that, you know. And, I mean, let's face it, look at the food now. I mean, is food even real? It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. And you can't go down the TikTok rabbit hole of the rubbery the rubbery fruit and the gross meat that strength. Anyway. But yes, I mean, we're combating a lot more even than humans did 100 years ago because of the processing and ultra processing of foods and the proliferation of petroleum-based medications.
Absolutely, absolutely, positively. And I think, you know, one thing that people don't really understand is that when we give our body is really designed to be a self-healing system.
Yes.
If you're giving your body what it needs to sustain life, the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, all those constituents that are required, it can and will repair itself in a lot of instances.
Right.
And the cannabis seed sativa flowering variety happens to be a superfood.
Yeah.
It has all of those vitamins, minerals, amino acids found there within. So providing that complete profile really gives you the best chance of getting all of the major benefits.
Right. And I mean, outside of incidences of major catastrophic injuries or violence where you're overcome by something being done to the body will heal itself every time. Mm-hmm. When we come back from the break, more with Dr. Lakeisha about what it does. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama right here on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida Gulf Coast, and live on YouTube and all the social media channels. Share and subscribe if you're watching us online. We're talking with Dr. Lakeisha about what cannabis does, the different components, the cannabinoids, terpenes, flavonoids, lipids, vitamins, minerals, all the things that are found in the plant, over 480 chemicals total in different proportions. And those different proportions, by the way, are what makes the difference between one strain and another. Dr. Lakeisha, what do cannabinoids actually do when they enter the body, whether it's through inhalation, you know, sublingually, orally, even with a suppository, rectally? What do cannabinoids do once they enter the body?
Well, I like to think about it like lock and key. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It actually opens up those pathways in that, you know, endogenous cannabinoid system that's found in all of our tissues, all of our organs, all throughout our body. There's a number of receptor sites.
Yes.
And those cannabinoids actually make it so that the other active constituents can talk to the pathways
right.
that are in our body. I like to make it real simple
yes.
and say it, you know, like that. It's kind of like a lock and key. It unlocks the body's ability to use all of the active constituents of the cannabis plant.
Right. It is the largest self-regulatory system in the human body and only been discovered since the 1990s. So we are still learning about the different types of receptors, such as the CB1 and CB2 receptors. I find it fascinating because so many people just don't really comprehend that this is just as important or more important than the regulation of the central and peripheral nervous system, because it's sort of the boss system. And it helps the body function the way God built it to function. And when we go to sleep at night and our bodies shut down, you know, and the body heals itself, like you said, it's intelligent design. It's crazy how the makeup of the human body itself, you know, as much of technology and medical advancements as we've had, we still have so much to learn. And this is something that we can definitely see happening. I know for me, it changed my whole life. I know it did for a lot of people. How do THC and CBD differ in how they work?
So there are a number of cannabinoids, you know, that are found in the cannabis plant. And it's not just THC and it's not just CBD. There's CBG and there's CBN, and then there's the acid versions of all of those,
right,
you know, in the raw form. So they all have a different effect. But in isolation, as we've talked about, they're not quite as effective,
right,
when they're all presented together, again, with the terpenes, because the terpenes also have an effect when they work together with the cannabinoids,
yes,
on your system. And I think one of the things that I want to mention that's, you know, a newer realm of science, that just now through research and something that we've been researching on, you know, with the Kiana Foundation, is actually how, now follow me here, the neurological, right, effects of using the cannabis sativa flowering variety and what the endogenous cannabinoid system does for us neurologically,
yes,
right? So each one of the neurons in our brain, right, it's coated with melanin, actually neuromelanin. It's not a pigment.
Right.
It's actually neuromelanin is what covers the sheets in your brain. And so when you talk about oxidative stress, like we had that conversation earlier,
mm-hmm,
the endogenous cannabinoid system plays a role in melanogenesis. So actually helping the neurons in our brain produce that sheath that protects us from oxidative stress,
yes,
with neuromelanin. And we are just on the cusp of really understanding how that, you know, affects chronic degenerative and even terminal illnesses like dementia and Parkinson's,
right,
and, you know, any of those things that are neurological disorders in the brain. There are so many things that the cannabis sativa flowering variety can help with,
right,
in enacting those particular systems in our body. Now, unfortunately, we can't really answer specifically what it does because the research has just been lacking, which I'm glad, as you mentioned earlier, that state licensed medical,
right,
is going Schedule 3 because it really now opens up the doors.
Absolutely.
For research,
yes,
for organizations like mine to really go in there and start to answer those questions, because right now we have more questions than answers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is if you're using a full spectrum product, you can be your own researcher because it's pretty benign in use. You know what I mean?
There's well, yeah,
death cases so far.
I was going to say, a lot of us have seen the result of what you just described. And one of the first things I learned about it like almost 9 years ago was it creates a neuroprotective layer in the brain. But no one's ever explained to me how or what that actually means. And so I appreciate you went there. I appreciate that because it makes it easier for me to understand. And as much as I talk about this stuff, I still, you know, that's why I have people like you on, because I'm constantly learning along with the audience. And that's why I think what we're doing tonight and every week is so important, because
now it makes
sense to be able to explain it in that way to someone who has the need for that. Someone with chronic, you know, traumatic encephalopathy symptoms, somebody with traumatic brain injury, somebody with Parkinson's or Huntington's that doesn't understand, you know, it works great, but why, you know? And it's important that we be able to explain that, especially to other medical professionals who don't spend their days studying this and learning this. That's highly valuable information. Basically, THC binds to CB1 receptors in the brain and throughout the body. And then CBD binds indirectly to CB2 receptors, is how I've always been taught. And these things have an immediate response in the body. You know, even with topical, it uses receptors in your skin cells. And when you rub that on, wherever you rub it on, it doesn't even involve the bloodstream. It immediately sends a signal with that endocannabinoid system through those skin cells to the brain. And the brain goes, okay, we're going to reduce pain. We're going to reduce swelling here. We're going to reduce the inflammation, and we're going to increase the blood flow to help healing. And it's immediate. And that's that's an easy way to show people an example of those receptors and how that works, and how the body immediately responds and works in conjunction with the brain because of those receptors. So it's a fascinating explanation. Non-intoxicating cannabinoids like CBG, CBC, and CBN play?
So many roles. You know, particularly, I like, and this is where, you know, I love the science of it. I love the science, especially the agricultural part of it, you know, the cultivation part of it. Because what people don't recognize, CBN, I'm going to talk about CBN now because I kind of love CBN.
Oh, yeah.
Is once you've grown, you know, your plant, and as it ages and it gets a little older and degrades, that the composition changes, the cannabinoids change. And the older it gets, the more CBN is present.
Right.
I love CBN specifically because it really helps me sleep.
Well, and there's so many people who can't use THC products.
Right.
That also need help with sleep, and CBN is the perfect answer to that, especially when you combine it with CBD. To me, CBN is a fantastic sleep aid. It's not like Ambien that's going to knock you unconscious for a few hours and you wake up exhausted. It uses your body's endocannabinoid system again to help you relax, to help your brain shut down and get real sleep. And it's never going to make you impaired, and you're never going to fail a drug test. And that, to me,
absolutely
a huge perk. I remember when CBN was almost impossible to find in the early days, and someone in government, I'll just say it that way, local government, pretty high up, came to me and said, I'm looking for CBN. And I looked at him, and I said, how did you even know to ask for that? And he said, well, my doctor sent me. I can't sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's not just readily available, but here's an alternative product that I have while I'm on the hunt, and you'll be the first to know when I find some. That's how early people started talking about it, and that's how well it works. So I'm a huge fan of CBN as well.
I love the minor cannabinoids. I think the minor cannabinoids are something that we just don't talk enough about, honestly and truly.
Absolutely.
Yes, CBG is one of my other favorites. Yes. I liken it as the mother of the stem cell cannabinoid. And for me, CBN helps me sleep. That CBG helps to keep me balanced during the day.
Yes.
Not the sleep, helps my body to manage the stress, but still keeps me alert and awake. So those are two of my favorite minor cannabinoids.
Alert and awake. And so, so many people have come through and told me that is a great alternative for their memory and their focus. And I've had adults and kids stop using stimulant medications, the ones we all know are terrible for you, and use that instead. And they don't get any side effects. They don't get the racing heart rate and the dry mouth and the lack of appetite. It helps their overall general anxiety. And when you combine it again, when you combine it with CBD, it helps with all those things, with the brain chemistry balance and the focus and the ability to remember. is fantastic. A lot of people I know.
The great thing is, too, if you involve other things, like, you know, people read about these other functional mushrooms and things like lion's mane.
Exactly.
If you're really talking nutrition now.
Yes.
If you're combining these functional mushrooms, these other herbs like ginkgo biloba or just different things with these cannabinoids, you're really like supercharging now your body to be able to, you know, the memory, the focus, the attention, the sleep, whatever it is that you need, you can really accomplish a lot of that nutritionally and be forward thinking with helping yourself. You know, it's not a replacement for, you know, your doctor's advice, your primary care physician or anything like that. But if you can't get that appointment for 2 or 3 weeks and you're looking for a way to help yourself, these are really easy nutritional ways.
Right.
I always encourage people, do the research.
And anything, get out there, anything that comes out of the ground that's made in nature is far less likely to have adverse side effects and things like that, because you're literally just giving your brain and your body the elements of nutrition that it needs. And adaptogenics have always been fascinating to me. You know, CBD mix, you know, full spectrum CBD with black seed oil and ashwagandha and lemon balm and passion flower, you know, saffron for depression. All of these things are highly usable together and adaptogenic. And I always tell people, full spectrum CBD can do dang near just about anything you can think of in the right proportion with the right product. But when you add something like ashwagandha or another, or lion's mane, you're like laser focusing on that major issue. You might have sore joints and muscles and brain fog and trouble sleeping. And, you know, but your main problem is focus and memory during the day. And that lion's mane addition will laser focus that portion of what the CBD is going to do in your brain. All right, we're letting this whole show get away from us. When we come back, we're going to finish up with Dr. Lakeisha. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now, with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Dr. Lakeisha tonight about what cannabis and the elements of cannabis do in the body. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, Dr. Lakeisha, if you're willing, we are going to have to do a part two to this show, because I'm only on question seven out of more than 20. So I think we're going to talk about acidic cannabinoids for this last segment, and next time we're going to do the terpenes and flavonoids, because they're just as important in that entourage effect. So I hope you'll do that with me, because this has been so informative. Let's talk about acids for a minute. CBD, THC, CBG, they all start in the plant as the acid form until they are heated. So what makes acidic cannabinoids different from their heated or decarboxylated forms?
Yes. Yeah, so one thing I want to piggyback on before we get into that is you said a real key word, adaptogen, right before we went from the, I really want people to hone in and remember that adaptogens help your body to manage stress. That's what they're there for.
Yes.
And the endogenous cannabinoid system, again, helps your body manage stress. So the system itself is adaptogenic in nature. Like, that's what it's built to do. I just wanted to make sure I put a pin in that so people remember that.
Well, and that's precisely the reason why we don't all just eat one food. You know, we eat a whole range of fruits and vegetables and lentils and meats and all the things, because we need iron and we need vitamins and we need minerals and we need all of those things. And they don't all come from, there's no one plant that you could consume all the time that would provide that. So definitely adding other natural elements and natural fruit, vegetable supplementation to what these cannabinoids provide is all the more reason that the body would have the defenses it needs and the fuel that it needs to do what you need to do and not just get bogged down in all the junk that is constantly surrounding us.
No, and that's a perfect segue into the acid form. So I love to inform people that the acid form of THC, so tetracannabidiol when it's raw,
right,
has an acid chain attached to it. So it's THCA.
Yes.
THCA actually does not speak to the receptors that excite psychoactivity.
Right.
And people don't understand that. And so this goes more along, you know, with my nutritional stance.
Right.
And what I always, you know, talk about. If you were to take the raw cannabis leaves, just the leaves even, mm-hmm. and juice them,
yes.
you're getting it chock full of all the acid forms of the cannabinoids, especially the acid form of THC. So if you want to get the benefits of THC without the psychoactivity,
right.
take it raw.
Right.
Juice it, just like wheatgrass. Take it like a shot. And your body is getting that full spectrum because you're getting now, especially in the raw form, all of the cannabinoids in their acid form, all of the terpenes, all of the flavonoids,
right.
all of the lipids that can speak to all of the receptor sites, you know, in the body. So I love for people to understand that. And when you talk about the seed now, don't take the seed and sprout it and juice that.
Right.
You have the most nutritious superfood on the entire planet. And when I was talking about that whole process of melanogenesis and actually, you know, creating those neuromelanin sheaths for mm-hmm. our brain,
yeah,
that is the most nutritious thing that you can do for your entire body. And you're taking those acid forms now. There's no psychoactivity. It's all nutritional, and it's giving you the best chance for your body to supplement that endogenous cannabinoid system and really help you manage all the stress, oxidative or otherwise. So
right.
I'm a huge fan of the acid form. So just think, when you think acid, think raw.
Right.
The raw form.
Right.
Because and that decarboxylation, as you said,
right.
is when you add heat to it.
Right.
That changes the chemical composition. It drops that acid chain. Now you have activated tetracannabidiol,
mm-hmm.
and it can talk to the psychoactivity receptors.
Right.
So it has a different effect, you
right.
know, physiologically, but a lot of the same benefits.
Yeah, and so many people are, you know, more people than not, I find, are it frustrates me, especially like when I think about talking to people in my church or people in my family or extended family that don't really understand, like most people, because most people don't spend their whole life studying this, but that all use of cannabis is going to make you high, all of it. And most of the therapeutic uses for cannabis don't involve impairment at all. The most therapeutic, in my opinion, the most effective, most nutritious, like you said, don't involve impairment at all. And THCA is a perfect example of that, because all you have to do to THCA to make you high is heat it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes something else, like you said. But if you don't heat it, you get every benefit of having that in the plant and in your body, and it doesn't change your state of mind in a way that impairs you, makes you slow, you know, all the things people think that cannabis users are. And there's mm-hmm. plenty of them out there that do enjoy that part just for that part. But most of us are here because we have health issues and we don't like it. And we don't like the options that they give us at the pharmacy. So that is important to note, you know, and anytime you're decarboxylating, whether you're sparking the plant matter or you're decarboxylating in a lab with heat in some way, you're going to get degradation as well. You're going to lose some of what's valuable in that raw plant. And mm-hmm. so that is why another reason why in the raw form, it is such a potent, important aspect of using this plant medicinally and nutritionally, because everything stays intact and the body gets the entire fullness of what the plant has to offer.
And I think what people also, you know, don't understand is that cannabinoids are fat soluble.
Yes.
They are fat soluble, and you need that lipid, the fat. fat. You need some sort of fat
right.
to really have that full bioavailability. So when we talk about the raw or acid forms, when you're using it in that manner and you're getting all of that full profile, mm-hmm. including the lipids, now that bioavailability, it's getting to all of those receptor sites
yes.
in the way that it's intended and meant to give you the full efficacy. And again, in the same nutritional sense, you know, vein, your body's able to choose what part of it needs at this time
yes.
and discard the rest the way you discard anything else nutritionally. But you're able to take it in and get the full bioavailability value of it.
Right. Well, and that's why all of your tinctures are going to come with medium chain triglyceride, like
right.
coconut oil,
right.
olive oil, right. hemp seed oil,
right.
so that
right.
when you ingest it, it has that fat to help it pass through the liver and the screening organs and make enough get to the bloodstream to be effective. That's
Absolutely.
Why it works so great and for so long in edible products where you'll find people make brownies and cookies and things mm-hmm. like that that have butter and oil and mm-hmm. some sort of fat. You know, one of my best-selling products was caramels because
yes.
it had fat, you know, the butter, the milk. And the
milk,
products right
yes.
beside it that were just chocolate were the same potency, but those caramels, man, they every day, those caramels, man, they hit different because they have more of a fat content. I've even mm-hmm. had a gummy on the way to dinner and had a ribeye and a baked potato with butter and cheese, and halfway through dinner been like, round two. Because I could tell it was
Absolutely.
Like... You know, you get that initial that absorbs in the mouth when you chew it long enough,
yeah.
and then whatever
yeah.
you swallow has to go through digestion. So, and you're sitting there going, well, there's the part I digested.
Yeah.
But it's because
really
of the fat,
the
and I tell people that. If you eat high fat right before, right after, be prepared, you know?
Absolutely, because it's going to kick right back up.
It sure is, but hey.
That is going through your digestive system.
But hey, a steak and a baked potato never taste better than after having a gummy.
I know that's right. I can agree with that.
Yeah, so yeah, those acids are very, very important. And like you said, CBGA is the star of the show because CBGA is the first cannabinoid formed when you plant the seed, and all
yep.
the other cannabinoids are born from it. And that's why they call it the mother or the stem cell, because it can become
yep.
what your body needs. Speaking of intelligent design, that's incredible to me that
yep.
you're between the plant and your body, you don't even have to have the discussion. Your body knows what to do with the plant, and the plant knows how to help the body. We're out of time. We're going to do part two. Thank you so much, Dr. Lakeisha, again for such a great conversation. We will see you guys next week on the show. God bless you, and God bless American hemp and cannabis. Good night.